To order, Port Commission meeting, October the 30th, 2018. Good morning, everyone. We have a nice crowd today. Glad to see everyone from staff, of course, and welcome to our guests. I don't have any particular remarks today or any updates, other than to remind everyone that we will not have a regularly scheduled Port Commission meeting in November. We are going to have our annual budget workshop on November the 13th at 9:00 a.m., followed by a legislative workshop for anyone who may be interested. Our regular meeting will occur on December the 12th, which is a Wednesday. Look forward to seeing you then. The next item on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from the September 25th, 2018 regular public meeting. I would entertain a motion.
Motion. Second.
Moved by Commissioner Corky, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Minutes are approved. We now have our Port Commission committee updates. First, the Procurement and Small Business Task Force held a meeting on October the 22nd of 2018, so I would invite Chairman John Kennedy to provide an update.
Thank you, Chairman. Commissioners, good morning.
Morning.
Actually, last week on the 22nd, or 2 weeks ago on the 22nd, we held two meetings. And the people on your Procurement and Small Business Task Force are myself, Commissioner Branch, and Commissioner Meese. We had two meetings. The first was the Procurement and Small Business Task Force meeting. And prior to that, we had our quarterly advisory meeting. As you know, in our charter, we are required to have an advisory committee, and we meet quarterly with that group. And it was an excellent day. We had a long day, but we had an excellent day with two meetings. You'll recall that at our July commission meeting, we had appearances from three different individuals who recommended that the Port Authority conduct a disparity study. Prior to that, Chairman Longoria had received a letter from a county commissioner who was also recommending that the port conduct a disparity study. And even since then, we have had other letters and requests regarding disparity studies. So it's obviously a subject that's very important to the people who work around the port and who are involved with the port. And our stakeholders think it's important, so we're taking it very seriously. With that in mind, and all of those recommendations, and consulting our charter, we found that the responsibility to conduct investigations relating to our procurement rests with the Procurement and Small Business Development Task Force. So my fellow commissioners and I discussed it, and I discussed it with the chairman, and we have agreed that we are going to conduct, or we are conducting, actually, an investigation into disparity studies and how we might could use them at the Port Authority to improve our procurement processes. So we had the meeting that I mentioned on the 22nd, and our first topic to investigate was really disparity 101. What exactly is a disparity study, and how might we use it in the future to improve port procurement operations? So we have learned a lot. We still have more things to investigate, and we have our next meeting on Monday the 5th of November. Is that right?
Yes.
Monday the 5th of November. So we'll be continuing our investigation, and it's our responsibility to keep the commission up to date, and we will certainly keep the commission up to date as we go along.
Thank you, Commissioner Kennedy. Next on the agenda is a report from the Audit Committee, which convened on October the 23rd of 2018. I would invite Commissioner Fitzgerald to provide the report.
Good morning, Chairman and Commissioners. The Audit Committee met on October 23rd, 2018. Grant Thornton, our outside auditor, presented plans for his 2018 financial statement audits. Representatives from Provida, an internal audit firm, presented the results of the first external quality assessment of our internal audit functions. In general, it generally conforms to 9 of the 12 standard tests and partially conforms to the other 3. The results was overall partially conforms assessment, which is consistent with the most internal reviews. The committee completed its annual review of this investment policy and internal controls of it for investments. Proposed changes include revisions to the list of approved financial institutions and adding a new Texas law requirement to review and report investments relating to the Sudan and Iran and designated foreign terrorist organizations. The committee concurred with the staff's proposal and recommends approval of the investment policy and internal controls for investments as presented in agenda item 1-4. The Port Authority's banking contract expires in early 2019. Texas law requires that the Port Authority appoint someone to advertise and receive proposals for these services. The committee recommends the appointment of Ray Yee, the Senior Director of the Treasurer, as presented in agenda item 1-3. Internal audit staff presented its draft 2019 budget for review and comment. The internal audit budget will be incorporated in the Port Authority's overall budget and reviewed by the Port Commission on November 13th. Internal audit staff provided support for its plan for 2019. These include annual risk assessment, the proposed internal audit, 2019 annual audit plan, and potential 2019 projects. The committee recommended approval of the internal audit, 2019 annual audit plan. The commission approved with the commission approved will be requested in December. Finally, internal audit staff provided audit reports related to its internal assessment and FTZ compliance. There were no issues reported under the Port Authority's whistleblower policy during the period July through September 2018. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much. That is all of our Port Commission committee updates. Next on the agenda is appearances. Has anyone signed up to speak at the regular Port Commission meeting? I know we have people signed up for the pilot board. Okay. Next, Mr. Gunther, do you have a staff report?
I do, Chairman. Thank you, Chairman and Commissioners, and welcome all of our guests. There's still a lot of activity across our docks, and trends continue to be positive through the Port Houston terminals as we make this stretch run through the end of 2018. Our container volume remains solid, continues to outpace last year by 10% through the third quarter. In fact, we passed the 2 million TEU mark in September this year, the earliest by far that we've reached that milestone. If you'll recall, it was only back in 2015 where we got to 2 million TEUs in a 12-month period in that calendar year. So, and all indicators point toward container activity continuing to maintain this stride through the end of the year. A little bit about steel. The import of steel continues to persist through the third quarter. Our facilities handled 478,000 tons in September alone. We're at 3.5 million tons for the year through September, which is more than average for an entire year. So it's been strong. October continues to look solid as we wind down that month as well. So this is all being pushed by the strength of production in the energy sector, mainly in the Permian and the Eagle Ford Shale basins. So as you can see from your financial reports, the cargo activity through our terminals is driving the results that are right in line with our current budget expectations. I have a couple items to recommend and advise the commission on regarding our operational activities. I'm going to ask Jeff Davis to take a moment and talk about two of these items, and then I will conclude. So, Jeff, if you'll talk about these two issues and inform the commission, I appreciate it.
Thank you, Roger. Good morning, Chairman, Commissioners. As Roger mentioned, I got a couple of items to cover. And the first is extended gate hours at Bayport. We began operating extended truck gate hours last October of 2017, and we did that as a result of of customer input and user demand. We felt like resin, the new resins in 2018 was going to put a lot of stress on the on all the components that make up our throughput at the gate, et cetera, and all the components to go with it. So working with that group, we expanded hours. So we put 4 hours to each day, Monday through Friday at Bayport, and we held back on Barber's Cut, expecting to expand the Barber's Cut as demand dictated. And unfortunately, 13 months into this endeavor, demand has, the volumes have not been there. We've averaged a couple hundred moves per night. Compare that to daytime activities, that gate routinely does some 600 moves an hour during daylight hours. So the expense of opening the entire terminal at night for 200 moves, it far outweighs the benefits that we're gaining. So we wanted to come to the commission first. And,
so basically 50 moves an hour for the extended gate hours and 600 moves an hour during daylight hours.
Exactly.
Okay.
And we just haven't seen it. We've seen some occasional spikes, but over 13 months, there's been no growth. We thought this was a real opportunity that the shipping community might migrate some of the business that way, but it just hasn't happened. We wanted to come to this group and make you aware first. We've worked very closely with Customs. Customs has supported us throughout this effort. That was a big component for this. And in talking to them as we wind this thing down, we want them to remain open, that we may come back and revisit it again.
If demand increases.
As demand dictates. But so we've set December 7th as the final day for it, and we'll let the users and stakeholders know, and certainly want to come report it here first before we took that action.
Anybody have any questions?
I do.
Go ahead.
Jeff, have y'all, has the RISN companies been notified of this yet?
We've, through John's, John has a, the commercial group has a group called ACES, and we meet with them periodically to discuss topics. And before we planned this step, we went to that group and said, hey, we're about to pull this back, or what's your feedback? And they said.
So they seem to understand?
They said, absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
But they do know that we're going to be flexible.
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely.
All right, good.
Okay.
Is this both Bayport and Barber's Cut? Or?
Again, we never extended it to Barber's Cut because we were establishing it at Bayport and we were going to move it over to Barber's Cut. But, the demand never rose there. So we took some steps that we were going to put it in place, and we paused it to see if we could grow that volume at Bayport. And it never happened. So we never went to Barber's Cut. So it's been 13 months. We've had ample opportunity for the shipping community to respond, but it just hasn't happened.
Commissioner Branch, did you
have
a question?
I'm sorry. Where is the Exxon going? Is it going to?
It goes to both.
Goes to both.
They have contracts with both of the ocean carriers, and it's been a daylight operation. As you know, we've met with them consistently throughout this process, trying to accommodate the growth of their business, but. We thought they were going to be a big user of the night operations, and that just hasn't happened.
Yeah, I think one of the issues from, again, my city standpoint is that all of the containers coming out of Mont Belvieu are routed through Baytown down 146 through residential areas, and the thought was to avoid cramming them all in there during daylight hours when we have school. There's a school along there and such as that. And to spread out the traffic rather than confining it all to daylight hours. So that would be my main concern.
That was a big driver for the whole nighttime operation, is to spread some of that volume out across the traffic venues in non-peak hours. And it just has not happened.
But we haven't seen a huge increase during daylight hours, during the normal hours. I mean, to the extent that it's been problematic. In other words,
correct.
We have been able to meet the demand that we have without having to extend those hours.
Exactly.
And Commissioner Don Collars, are you hearing anything from your constituents about the issues that you just raised?
No, it's tolerable now. I'm concerned if we're compressing. I don't know how. You don't have any count on how many of those are coming through.
Just to give you some, I don't.
I mean, 50 trucks an hour. I don't know.
I mean, we do 9,000 gate moves a day between Barber's Cut and Bayport. We're doing 200, 250 a night at Bayport in the night gate. We just won't see much. It won't impact that daytime operation much.
To be honest, Commissioner, you know, a lot of the reason was at the request of these resin shippers. But in actuality, a lot of the volume that we're handling, maybe the majority of the volume we're handling, is actually people picking up import cargo in those extended hours and not actually delivering export resins. Right. You'll recall when we were out there in Mont Belvieu 4 or 5 months ago, we've been pleading with them. We'd love to use our asset more hours of the day rather than having to build more assets to handle the volume. But we can revisit this, but we're stopping it for now because it's just it's an expense that far outweighs the benefit that we're getting right now.
You're right, Roger. Importers have outweighed the exporters, and half of those moves are empties. I mean, we're not even, it's been really surprising how the shipping public has not used those hours.
Commissioner Branch, did you have a question?
Yeah, my question was related to traffic, and he answered it. Commissioner
right.
Don Carlos's question.
Thank you, Mr. Davis.
Good. I have one more topic.
Yes.
And it's about a general rate increase and just an overview this month of what we plan to formally recommend next month at the budget meeting. Starting on the container side of our business, you might recall earlier this year, we renewed our 10-year agreements with most of our ocean carriers. We call them Marine Terminal Services Agreement. We started with Hapag-Lloyd in January, MSC, Evergreen, Zim, followed throughout the course of the year, and the final one was CMA we did in August. So the vast majority of our ocean carriers, we've re-upped that 10-year agreement. And that 10-year agreement, it's a new version, a newer version of that agreement, and it has an automatic trigger in it for CPI, an annual CPI increase. So we'll bring that back, and there's not much action to be had there because you've already treated that as an action item. And a reminder of what these rates do and what we do with the rates. Obviously, we put over the last 5 years, we put a lot of infrastructure into those container terminals, deepening and widening channels, ship-to-shore cranes, RTGs, yards, and all these rates pay for those sorts of things. And we have, in the next 2 years, we have much of the same plan. We've got a new dock plan. We've got 70 acres of yard, a new gate at Bayport, at Barber's Cut, excuse me. So more of the same is planned in an effort to keep up with the demand of the container business. So we feel that CPI increase is in line there. And the carriers, by way of renewing those agreements earlier this year, have consented to that increase. On the general cargo side, there are no agreements that drive what we do here in terms of rates. And we're going to recommend the same type of CPI increase for the general cargo facilities because we're doing some of the same things. It's not so much greenfield development here at the general cargo facilities, but there's still a lot of upkeep that goes into the facilities. We just did a dock last year. We have more docks planned. I think some of you went and visited City Dock 23 when we did that effort there, renewing it, refurbishing it. So more of the same is planned for the general cargo facilities and as well as upkeep of our aging facilities. So all of those costs are continuing to grow, and we feel that CPI increase is necessary to keep pace. And so, again, we've got 53 docks, a couple million square feet of storage space, of covered storage space, and several million square feet of open storage space, and we need to keep pace so that these facilities can be maintained to meet demand. So next month we'll bring that increase forward and recommend to this body CPI increase.
Thank you, Mr. Davis. Anybody have any questions?
Just a quick one. Two things. One is. I guess I'm judging from the pilot's experience, recent experience, there's some sensitivity in the market to price increases. Have you had any conversations with our general cargo clients regarding potential for an increase?
You know, last year we did a CPI increase, and we let that community know that that's probably going to be our recommendation each year, and that's part of the reason we're making a public recommendation now, so that there's some time to get feedback and bring it to this body if they choose to do that in the public meeting. But there has been some discussion. We want to advise this group first, and then go communicate directly.
And we are sensitive to what other ports are charging. We don't want to obviously price ourselves out of the market.
You know, we think CPI keep, you know, we're not, it's not an absorbent 5-10% increase. We're trying to just keep pace with inflation and keep up with the increasing cost of our expenses, as well as our the capital that we're pouring back into the facilities. So we think it's well.
I understand the need. I'm just.
I'm with you.
We always are aware of the competitiveness of it. It's a good question, Commissioner.
Thank you, Commissioner John Carlos. It's been my experience, just based upon my discussions with Mr. Davis, other members of staff, and of course Mr. Gunther, that they are very careful and very proactive about the way they communicate what they plan to do, and they get consensus and buy-in way ahead of the time, which is why Mr. Davis is here talking about it this morning. That communication is so important. And so I really compliment you, Mr. Gunther, Mr. Davis, the rest of staff, on the way you work with our customers to assure that we're all on the same page. We all work together in consensus and as partners, because it's important to us to remain competitive. So thank you for that. Just keep us posted on what you think it looks like from the standpoint of approval.
We will.
All right.
Thank you.
And just a couple more
Absolutely.
Things. Just a couple more items. Just of note, there's several items on the agenda today for your consideration: capital expenditures and authority to seek bids on different items for investing in the future of our facilities. One item of note is the purchase of 8 new RTG cranes. It is item for recommendation today that we need to continue to handle the growth and efficiently handle container activity that, as you can tell, is growing in our facility. The last thing that I want to do, I like recognizing our folks, and I want to take a moment to recognize one of our employees, Daniel Spires, who's been recognized by another body as the Firefighter of the Year by the Galena Park Rotary Club. Daniel's Port Houston's fire inspector, who coordinates fire plans for more than 100 facilities up and down the ship channel that we protect from the waterside. And we share this information with our mutual aid partners. And he takes a lead role in making sure that all Port Houston and our tenant facilities are maintained to the proper fire code. So the fact that Daniel's been honored by those in the community, I think it's worth recognition to our commission. And thank you, Daniel. Please stand up, Daniel Spires. Thanks for working proactively and making our facilities more safe, and congratulations on this honor. Thank you.
Congratulations.
That's all I have, Chairman.
Thank you so much, Mr. So now on to the regular agenda. Under commercial, item H1 and 2, I move approval of both items. The first is for our membership of the Greater Houston Partnership. The second is for a two-year contract with IHS Global Inc. for access to the Journal of Commerce, which is really important to our industry.
Second.
I moved it, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Items carry. Under leases, I'll take items 3 through 6 together, and I would entertain a motion.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Corgi, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Items carry. Under finance, I would take items I1, A through K together, which are requests for competitive seal bids and or for proposals.
Motion.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald, seconded by Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carry. Item 2 is to reject and re-advertise a request for proposals and receive responses for the purchase of miscellaneous safety equipment for Barber's Cut Terminal, Bayport Container Terminal, and the Turning Basin Terminal.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald, seconded by Commissioner Corgi. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under general, item 1, appoint a designated officer in accordance with section 60.271 of the Texas Water Code, and authorize a designated officer to advertise and receive proposals for depository and other banking services on behalf of the Port Authority.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Kennedy, seconded by Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. How long does that generally take?
process.
Yeah.
About 3 months, and this, the current contract expires in March of next year.
Very good. The timing is right then.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. Item four, adopt a revised investment policy for Port Authority funds, including operating construction, debt service, and bond reserve funds, and approve the Port Authority's revised internal controls for investments.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Brandt.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Corgi. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under infrastructure, item one, reject all qualification submittals received for professional services to support master planning studies and investigations of market and industry trends for general cargo facilities.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Brandt, seconded by Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under awards, amendments, and change orders, item two is to rescind the award and re-advertise for competitive seal proposals for the demolition of the lighter aboard ship vessel dock at Barber's Cut Terminal, together with the rehabilitation of Wharf 3, and the construction of electrical and communications infrastructure at Container Yards 4, 5, and 6 at Barber's Cut Terminal.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Corgi. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item three, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a contract in an amount not to exceed $500,000 for a market demand study and business case analysis for reduction of emissions through intermodal opportunities and incentives to the top ranked proposers in order of ranking: first, AECOM Technical Services, second, HDR Engineering Inc., and third, Hatch Associates Consultants Inc.
Motion, staff recommendation.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald for staff recommendation, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item four, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a professional services contract in amount not to exceed $150,000 to perform construction material testing services during the construction of the rail spur at Bayport Container Terminal to the top ranked proposer in order of ranking: first, Terracon Consultants, second, HBJ Associates, third, Braun Intertech.
Move staff recommendation.
Moved by Commissioner Corgi for Terracon, seconded by Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item five, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a professional services contract in an amount not to exceed $433,128 to perform a detailed assessment of the grain storage elevator and transport facility at Woodhouse Terminal to the top ranked proposer in order of ranking: first, Wiss Janney Eisner Associates, Inc., second, CTL Group, and third, Smith Monroe Gray Engineers.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Don Carlos for the top-ranked proposer. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. I'll take items 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 together, and I would entertain a motion.
So moved.
Second. Moved by Commissioner Don Carlos, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Items carry. Under general, item 12, grant an amended and restated sanitary control easement to the Galena Park Independent School District as required by the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. All right, under permits, licenses, and pipeline easements, I'll take items 13 through 22 together.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Branch, seconded by Commissioner Corgi. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Items carry, with the note that I'm recusing on items 13 and 14. Under operations, K1, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a one-year contract for spotting of vessels at all Port Authority facilities in an amount not to exceed $250,000 to the top-ranked proposer in order of ranking: first, Houston Mooring Company, second, Marine Techno Services.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Fitzgerald for Houston Mooring Company, seconded by Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item two, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a contract in an amount not to exceed $16,826,594 for the purchase of 8 diesel-electric container yard cranes for Barber's Cut Terminal to the top-ranked proposer for best value. Staff ranking in order is Kona Cranes Finland, second, Kalmar USA, and third, Shanghai Xinhua Heavy Industries Company.
Motion to approve staff ranking.
Moved by Commissioner Kennedy.
Second.
For Kona Cranes, seconded by Commissioner Corgi. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item three, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award a 5-year contract in an amount not to exceed $328,400 for transportation workers identification card reader and software application services to include maintenance and support to the top ranked proposer in order of ranking. First, ID Software. Second, Port Solutions Integrations. And third, Smart Techs LLC.
Move staff recommendation.
Moved by Commissioner Branch for ID Software.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item four, approve staff's ranking of vendors and award 2-year contract in an amount not to exceed $750,000 for railroad repair services at Turning Basin Terminal. In the order of ranking, first, Railworks Track Systems, second, Ameritrack Railroad Services, and third, George Hedge Contractors, Inc.
Motion to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Kennedy for Railworks Track Systems, Inc., seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item five, award a 2-year contract to Herc Rentals, Inc. for rental of heavy equipment for Turning Basin Terminal, Barber's Cut Terminal, and Bayport in an amount not to exceed $350,000.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Branch.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Kennedy. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item six, award a contract to Waste Corporation of America to provide trash disposal and recycling services for the Turning Basin Terminal, Barber's Cut, Bayport, Turning Basin Terminal South, and Fireboat Barracks for a 3-year term beginning December 1st, 2018 in an amount not to exceed $1,994,492.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Corgi.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item seven is to award a 1-year contract to Asset Works LLC, the sole source provider for software maintenance support and an extended hardware warranty for the Fleet Focus MS Enterprise Asset Management System and Fuel Focus software in an amount not to exceed $52,000.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Commissioner
Second.
Kennedy, seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under people. One item, L1, approve the purchase of insurance from Aetna Life Insurance Company in an amount not to exceed $1,449,846 to provide stop-loss coverage for calendar year 2019 for the Port Authority's self-funded group medical plan for active employees, retirees who are not Medicare eligible, and dependents.
Motion.
Moved
Second.
By Commissioner Corgi, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item carries. Under M, Port Security and Emergency Operations, award amendments and change orders. Item one, award a shipyard maintenance services contract for 6 Port Authority vessels to National Cotton, Inc., doing business as Pier 77 Marine Service for a 2-year period beginning November the 1st, 2018, in an amount not to exceed $635,942.
Motion.
Moved by Commissioner Branch.
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Item two is to authorize an agreement with the Houston Ship Channel Security District for payment of the current year contribution, that's for 2018-19, in an amount not to exceed $42,900.
Motion to approve.
Moved by Commissioner
Second.
Kennedy. Seconded by Commissioner Branch. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. Under technology, item N1, issue a purchase order to Securities Electronic Security, Inc. for purchase of video management system software maintenance using National Intergovernmental Purchasing Alliance through the Cooperative Purchasing Network, a cooperative purchase program in an amount not to exceed $70,000.
Motion.
Second.
Moved by Commissioner Corgi, seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. We are now going to move into executive session, so we will recess this meeting. We will reconvene after the conclusion of executive session.
It's now 9:39 a.m. Port Commission, the Port Eastern Authority of Harris County, Texas, will now convene a closed meeting as permitted by Texas Open Meetings Act Government Code to conduct a consultation including consultation regarding industrial district agreement and water supply agreement for the city of Pasadena.
I saw him earlier.
Regarding real estate deliberations regarding acquisition of Bayport City properties.
Out of executive session, Commissioner Don Carlos, do you have a motion?
Madam Chairman, I move to authorize terms of the Port Authority's acquisition of easements or fee simple interest in 11 tracts directly adjacent to the existing Union Pacific Railroad corridor between Highway 225 and Red Bluff Road by purchase or exercise of eminent domain. To permit the properties be publicly used by the port authorities for public port-related development and operations as discussed in executive session and authorize the executive director to do all things necessary to give effect to the foregoing.
Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Commissioner Fitzgerald. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. That concludes the business of the Port Commission for
one
today.
More.
Oh, sorry.
Yep.
Q1, sorry. Q1.
That's what we just did.
That's what we just did.
Well, no, this is to adopt the formal resolution. In closed session, we also discussed other aspects that you approved, and now this is to adopt the formal public resolution.
Where is it?
It's two items.
It's RCA.
I don't have it on my list.
Q1, it should be.
I don't have it on my
the commission book
list, so
I got it here. If you want to read,
let me
it's
see
page 127 of the agenda book.
Thank you.
It may not have been in the briefing.
Book. Adopt a resolution authorizing the Port Authority to acquire through exercise of the power of eminent domain fee and or easement interest in 11 tracts of land directly adjacent to the existing Union Pacific Railroad corridor between Highway 225. And Red Bluff Road to permit the properties to be publicly used by the Port Authority for public port-related development and operations. Is there a motion?
So motion.
Moved by Commissioner Kennedy, seconded by Commissioner Don Carlos. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Item carries. And I apologize for that, Mr. Erickson, but it was not in my materials.
No problem. No, it's a statutory requirement. That's
very good. And so that ends the business of the Port Commission for today, October the 30th, 2018. Everyone have a very safe and happy Halloween tomorrow. And we look forward to seeing you at our budget workshop and or at the December commission meeting.